Let me text Bill Thorne, because he's also on.
I don't think she can hear us.
Should we start meeting?
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. We need a motion for recess, not, but. Let's start the meeting. And we don't have a quorum, so we have to recess till we get a quorum.
I have a quorum here, but she's not.
She, you can't hear her.
But we have a quorum without her, so.
Oh, yeah.
Eileen, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay. Call to order. Of this regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the open public meetings law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of the annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting it in the borough hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2023. This agenda is complete to the extent known and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Colasardo, Mr. Crowley.
Here.
Mrs. Cusick.
Does she have to unmute?
No. For the record, she is here, just having technical difficulties, acknowledging.
Mr. Dougherty. Ms. Hornleitner.
Here.
Mr. Murphy.
Here.
Mayor Glucksky.
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to move that we take a 5-minute recess to try to.
Yes.
Make a motion for recess.
Motion?
I guess I'll second that motion.
Yeah.
How about?
Hold on.
All right.
We're good?
Make a motion.
Okay.
Make a motion, go back into.
I make a motion. You make a motion, I'll second it. There we go.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Moving on, we need approval of the previous meeting minutes for March 23rd for the regular meeting and the executive session.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
And roll call.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Ms. Hornleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
The minutes have been approved.
Yes. Now to Employee of the Month. Yay! Woo! This month, we are recognizing Eddie Edelbeck, and he was hired in the street department in 1988. He was then transferred to the water sewer department in 2003. Eddie continues to work with all the departments within the borough, conducting all aspects of daily work, including emergency work, snow plowing, paving, curbing, resetting manholes. In addition, Eddie operates the water plant and sewer pumping station, where he maintains the water distribution, repairs water leaks, conducts installation and repairs fire hydrants and water valves, and conducts the maintenance and repairs within the collection sewer system. Eddie is a very reliable and dedicated employee. Whenever he is called, Eddie immediately responds. It doesn't matter if it's at night, weekends, or holidays, and I just want to recognize him and his wife. And they reside in Belford section of Middletown, and we congratulate Eddie on being named the Atlantic Highlands Employee of the Month, and thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations.
This one.
Thank you. Since you're going to be busy flushing hydrants this month, we want to thank you for all that you do for the town. All right, so moving on, we have the proclamations, and I'm going to have my borough administrator read them all for me.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. So we have three proclamations. The first one is a little lengthy, so I want to let everybody know that. The next two will be fairly quick. So the first proclamation, Mayor's Monarch Pledge Day. Whereas monarch butterfly is an iconic North American species whose multi-generational migration and metamorphosis from caterpillar to butterfly has captured the imagination of millions of Americans. And whereas both the western and eastern monarch populations have seen significant declines with less than 1% of the western monarch population remaining, while the eastern population has fallen by as much as 90%. And whereas Atlantic Highlands recognizes that human health ultimately depends on well-functioning ecosystems and that biodiverse regions can better support food production, healthy soil and air quality, and can foster healthy connections between humans and wildlife. And whereas cities, towns, and counties have a critical role to play to help save the monarch butterfly, and Atlantic Highlands is striving to become a leader. And whereas on Wednesday, March 29th of 2023, Mayor Loretta Gluckstein signed the National Wildlife Federation Mayor's Monarch Pledge and has officially committed to taking meaningful action to protect the monarch butterfly. And whereas Atlantic Highlands has committed to issue a proclamation to raise awareness about the decline of the monarch butterfly and the species' need for habitat, launch or maintain a public communication effort to encourage residents to plant monarch gardens at their homes or in their neighborhoods, engage with gardening leaders and partners to support monarch butterfly conservation, engage with developers, planners, landscape architects, and other community leaders and organizers engaged in planning processes to identify opportunities to create monarch habitat, integrate monarch butterfly conservation into the city's park master plan, sustainability plan, climate resiliency plan, and other city plans, and direct city property managers to consider the use of native milkweed and nectar plants at city properties where possible. And whereas every resident of Atlantic Highlands can make a difference for the monarch by planting native milkweed and nectar plants to provide habitat for the monarch and pollinators in locations where people live, work, learn, play, and worship. And now, therefore, I, Loretta Gluckstein, right here, by virtue of the authority vested in me as Mayor of Atlantic Highlands, do hereby proclaim April 13th, 2023 as Mayor's Monarch Pledge Day. Okay, one down. The next one, proclamation, National Child Abuse Prevention Month. Whereas child abuse and neglect is a serious problem affecting every segment of our community, and finding solutions requires input and action from everyone. And whereas our children are the most valuable resources and will shape the future of the borough of Atlantic Highlands. And whereas child abuse can have long-term psychological, emotional, and physical effects that have lasting consequences for victims of abuse. And whereas protective factors are conditions that reduce or eliminate risk and promote the social, emotional, and developmental well-being of children. And whereas effective child abuse prevention activities succeed because the partnerships created between child welfare professionals, education, health, community and faith-based organizations, businesses, law enforcement agencies, and families. And whereas communities must take every effort to promote programs and activities that create strong and thriving children and families. And whereas we acknowledge that we must work together as a community to increase awareness about child abuse and contribute to promote the social and emotional well-being of children and families in a safe, stable, and nurturing environment. And whereas prevention remains the best defense for our children and families. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Loretta Gluckstein, and right here, do hereby proclaim April 2023 as National Child Abuse Prevention Month in the borough of Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, and urge all citizens to recognize this month by dedicating ourselves to the task of improving the quality of life for all children and families. That's two. And the third proclamation, Alcohol Awareness Month. Whereas Alcohol Awareness Month is recognized each April as a time to bring understanding and prevention to alcohol abuse the individuals and their families and friends that are affected by it, and whereas the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence, the NCAVD, has chosen the color purple to represent and acknowledge the many lives that are affected by alcohol use and support individuals who are impacted, and whereas the significance of purple is its similarity to the violet variety of quartz named amethyst. The word amethyst is of Greek origin and means without drunkenness. In ancient times, it was believed that anyone carrying this stone could not become intoxicated. Now, therefore, the mayor and council of the borough of Anaconda joins with the Monmouth County Municipal Alliance to prevent alcoholism and drug abuse in their efforts to raise public awareness by proclaiming April 21st, 2023 as Wear Purple Day in Atlantic Highlands.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have no unfinished business. We will now go into workshop discussion, and I think you have...
Yes, so I would recommend that we move on to B while we allow Mr. Giacobbe to patch in to provide a regionalization update.
Okay. So I need a motion and a second at workshop, yes? Okay, good. So Ordinance 7-2023, requiring fingerprinting background checks for youth activities. Questions?
I'm glad we're getting this done. Mm-hmm. This is something that was raised here and then Recreation Committee. Councilman Murphy's part of that, Councilman Colasarto, and I think we all moved pretty rapidly to get this done. That's the right thing to do for our children.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes the most sense possible, protect them and sure. Everybody involved. So
being involved with scouting for decades, we've done this for years. And same with the Catholic schools, yep. Too. Anyone involved with children. So, are there any questions? Okay. Comments? All right. So now we're just going to wait for...
It would be wonderful if they had a...
But you have to come up here.
The mic is in the ceiling right here.
Be nice if they had communal data.
No, stop.
Stay right there.
I know. No, come back, sir. Okay, right here. Yes, right there. And all you have to say your name and address. And
34 Kachi Avenue, Mama Beach.
Okay.
Anthony, it's just for everybody that's on the live stream can hear you.
It'd be nice if they had one database.
Yes.
You know, if you coach in Tin Falls, you have to get fingerprinted. If you coach in Mama Beach, you have to get fingerprinted. I hesitate to say it's a money grab, this is when we implemented this in Mama Beach years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that needs to be done.
Yeah.
But it would be good if there were just one, if everybody shared, mm-hmm. It would be wonderful.
Great.
That's my only comment.
Okay, sorry, thank you. No, you're fine. Thank you.
You want to do the new business or no?
You
might
want to. Is it 8555?
Is he raising his hand?
No.
Mr. Giacobbe, if you're online, if you can just raise your hand or let us know. I'm not sure if you're here.
No, message
users
different.
Can you just keep an eye on it,
Ben? Yep.
Do we want to come back to that?
Yeah.
We can put him in when he's professional.
He's logging on now.
Well, we have a lull. I can plug our PBA ball is May 26th. I'm hoping that everyone can attend, and the gentleman in the back may be selling some tickets. Am I right?
Yeah.
All right.
They're also raffling off right with Mr. Tolman for dinner for the date. Right?
That's for the one part of the PBA ball, the auction part, the benefits will be going to the Police Explorers, which I'm really excited about. So.
And do you donate a basket matter?
Absolutely. And if you would like, I have copies of, like, clips that you may take tonight for baskets or...
Yeah. 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 Oh, here comes the man of the hour.
Yay! Here. Yeah.
Thank you, Mayor.
Sure. And as you can see, Judy Grasso, who has helped with the auction for, I think, decades now, since the beginning, so...
Is there going to be a booklet also that you can buy?
You're going to have to speak to Davi about that, but yes.
Yeah, there usually is.
Mm-hmm. There is.
Okay.
There is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He laughed. He was there.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
Oh, Rob, did you volunteer to be around the club as well? Okay. Did I hear that?
Sure, why not?
Oh,
just don't tell my wife.
Rob,
you do realize this is on public record, right? Yeah, just saying.
Is man on yet?
Not yet.
So, what we can do is start the meeting or proceed to the meeting.
I don't see him. Unless he's number 8555.
That's just a loud talk.
Or I got the number Beth, Bill Thorne, Bob, Lance Hubney, Rich Colangelo. Oh, he just showed up.
He did?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Hurry up.
Yay!
Right. Mr. Giacobbe, can you hear us okay? We can't hear you.
Okay.
Perfect. Excellent. So thank you for joining us this evening. You're on the agenda here to provide any regionalization updates that may be worth noting. If you could start, that would be great.
Okay. Thanks for having me. A couple updates. As you know, a week from tomorrow, we'll be meeting with... the attorneys for Highlands, their VA, their mayor, their council president, and their financial expert. And Atlantic Highlands will be represented by myself, our financial expert, Robert Beneke, your VA, your mayor, and your council president. We'll be meeting at my Madawan office, and we're going to attempt to mediate the share formula should there be a regionalization take place with the three school systems and or including Seabright at a future date. So that's next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened to date, people might be aware, the Commissioner of Education dismissed Ocean Shore Regional's challenge. That's an administrative decision from the executive branch. They have 45 days. The Ocean Port and Shore Regional have 45 days. If they want to challenge it, they have to file an appeal in the Health Division of New Jersey. The standard of review to overturn a commission decision, they have to demonstrate that their decision was arbitrary, capricious, or unreasonable to overturn that. So we have to wait and see if they decide to challenge it. And if they do, they have a heavy burden, but the Health Division, I can tell you, takes some time to go through. With that aside, I'm sure that the public is aware that the school boards have combined, they have filed an amended petition. I don't know much about it because when they filed it, they hadn't given us the heads up they were doing it, and that's before the commissioner. So really the only update that's really important is, as you know, there's an original petition filed with the commissioner and nothing can ever go on a ballot until the commissioner approves it. And the commissioner cannot approve anything until Highlands and Max Highlands agree on a share formula. And so that's where we're mediating to see if we can come to an agreement before there's any action. And we're hopeful that we might not get it done in one mediation session. We have a retired Assistant Commissioner of Education who's going to be the mediator. It's not binding, both sides have to agree to it. And we're hopeful that we can make progress and come up with a formula that satisfies both the Highlands governing body and the Land Highlands governing body. If there's any questions?
Does anyone in the public have any comments or questions for Mr. Giacobbe?
I have to stand up there again?
Yes, please.
Yes.
please inform us.
34 Tassie Avenue, Long Beach. Mr. Giacobbe, what exactly did the commissioner decline on the regional proposal? Is it the
procedural? The commissioner didn't decline anything. The commissioner... So what had happened is there was a petition filed with the commissioner a long time ago between Highlands, Atlantic Highlands, and the ports. And Shore Regional and Ocean Port opposed it. And if you recall, Seabright agreed that they would fund the litigation if Corangio, Broberg, and Newman handled the litigation on behalf of the river with the same taxpayer funds. So Corzio drafted the briefs, we all reviewed them. The commissioner dismissed Oceanport and Shore Regional's challenge to the application for this regionalization.
Yeah, and
again, the application for regionalization is not regionalization. It's just to be able to put it forward before the voters.
Okay. So the commission denied the appeal that Seabright should have been involved in this. Is procedural based on the fact that the Seabright Borough Commission filed a petition where the legislation clearly states that the school board has to file a petition, correct?
No. Seabright, the commissioner didn't do anything with Seabright. The commissioner dismissed Oceanport and Shore Regional's challenge to the petition that was filed by the Bush Law Group, Corzio, Broberg, and Newman, and myself. Where, if remember, Roger Bromberg Newman represents both Highlands and Seabright.
Correct.
Jonathan Bush's law firm represents the three school boards and I represent Atlantic Highlands. That originally went in as a petition before the commissioner for review and approval, subject to us putting in the share allocation. Shore Regional and Oceanport challenged that, saying it was, you can't do it this way. The commissioner dismissed Shore Regional and Oceanport's challenge. But I want to caution folks that both Shore Regional and or Oceanport do have the right to appeal the commissioner's decision.
Correct. So the commissioner disallowed the appeal by Shore Regional and Oceanport that the claim was that the Seabright Council did not have the right to enter into an agreement with the other three districts because Seabright has to have a Board of Education put that forward. Is that correct? That's what the legislation says.
You know what, I don't have that before me.
That's okay. That's what the appeal was, and that's what was denied. She was kind of mute on the whole thing. But that's the situation. It's the fact that...
But she also said it was inappropriate because this is not a dispute and controversy. They can't file their actions through the controversy of the commissioner. And she's directed that this is an application by the Board of Ed and the town. And right now, what's before the commissioner is the Board of Ed's application to first consolidate the Board of Ed.
Okay, so now my question is, the application that's there now, is that's an amended application. So how is that amendment different than the original? On what grounds is it an amended application for the tri-district?
Well, I didn't do the amended application. I wasn't, afforded the ability to review it before it's filed. That was filed by the Bush Law Group. Right. And my understanding of that amendment is that they're seeking to have the three boards of ed be combined by a referendum for just the three boards of ed.
Correct, and that would eliminate Seabright, right? It would eliminate Seabright on it. That's what the amendment would be.
Well, it doesn't eliminate Seabright. What they've made clear is that Seabright could join at a later time. And we can't.
So that's the amendment.
Yeah.
All right. I got you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
Tracy Abbey, Seven Hill Road, Medic Islands. Mr. Jacoby, you said that there's going to be a meeting next week, and the mediators are going to talk about the funding formula to share the allocation between the two towns. Yet you talked about merging only Atlantic Highlands, Highlands, and Henry Hudson, and Seabright at a later date. My question and my frustration as a taxpayer is that we have hired numerous professionals who have said this only makes sense if we do it with Seabright. So I do not understand why we keep stalling and not moving forward. So I would appreciate an explanation from you.
Well, I can't speak to, I mean, the Boards of Ed.
I'm not talking about the Boards of Ed, Mr. Jacoby. I'm talking about the Borough Council that you represent.
Well, but let me just finish. So the Boards of Ed decided to go and do this on their own. The original petition that was filed by Porzio, the Bush Law Group, and us was a combination of the three school boards and the three towns.
Correct.
And it was to create a referendum for the combination of the three school boards and Seabright.
Correct.
The Boards of Ed have voted to do it like two-step phase, and they have filed the amended petition to first just combine the boards, indicating that if that goes through, they're not opposed to having Seabright in the future. So I can't control what the Boards of Ed do. What we're doing with the mediation, however, is we need to come up with the share formula.
Correct.
So that should there be a vote and Seabright is able to join, we don't want to be waiting and having a dispute when that happens. It's right now that the voters haven't made that decision yet. They haven't been afforded that opportunity. When they're afforded that opportunity, we want to have that number.
Correct.
The petition is before the commissioner that was originally filed with the three towns and the three boards of ed. The allocation, the share allocation, was left blank. That has to be fixed for the commissioner to approve it.
I understand.
That's what we're trying to do, Ms. Equate, is get that portion done. And we're now in the middle of April. You know, if we want to get this on the November ballot, we got to move. You know, we have to get this done.
That's my concern. Now, the law that passed unanimously, I believe, that gave the power to the municipalities, because they're the ones that control the finances, not the education. So now you're telling me that we have to wait. We can come up with the funding formula, but we have to wait to decide what the Board of Ed is going to do?
The Board of Ed has the right independently to seek to combine themselves. They've already done that. That's what the amended petition was.
Can the council override and say, for the benefit of our taxpayers, we believe the inclusion of Seabright should be on the ballot this November 2023. Can the council do that?
Well, but you have to have an agreement with Highlands.
Correct.
And Seabright.
Correct.
To do that.
Correct.
So the first step to get that agreement going is to come up with a share formula with Highlands. So that's what we're doing right now.
I understand that. My question was, can they do that?
Based on the legislation, they could do that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jacoby. Yeah. That's all I needed to hear. Thank you very much.
What is the bell? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hi, Corinne Messina, 49 East Lincoln Avenue. I am a member of the Atlantic Highlands Board of Education, and I don't know if anybody was at the Highlands meeting the other night, but I know there's a lot of great information, and it's too bad Mr. Giacobbe couldn't have been there, because I think a lot of the misinformation that he's telling everyone right now was corrected at that meeting. And I suggest, Mr. Giacobbe, that you reach out to Porzio and Bush Law Group to get your story straight. Essentially, that amendment, the school boards are wasting time, Mr. Giacobbe. we want to be right just as much as everybody else in this room, but we're losing state aid. And the only way for us to stop the bleed, sorry, I'm embarrassed to say that, is for us to, basically that amendment was a plea to the commissioner. Please, while you're sorting out what's going on with Seabright and Shore Regional and everything that's in dispute, please let us move forward, which, by the way, Seabright needs us to be a pre-K-12 district in order to join. So all the school boards are asking the commissioner is, if you can't do it all in one fell swoop, please don't hold back the three schools from combining so that we can save state aid. It's simple. There's no need to beat up the school boards. There's no need to tell the town council and the public that the school board has put an amended, like, without Seabright. That's not what happened. And you are missing forms, and I ask you please to get yourself I'm also a townsperson, and I would like for you to speak truthfully about what's going on. So anyway, it's a plea. The schools are fully on board, and we would love for Charlie Rudy to be able to sit in his backyard and share up in the district. The school board is here for this ride. We're a team, and we have to stop pointing fingers at one another and continue to work together. This is a team effort. So please, let's keep doing that.
So, Rob, if I could, I'm not pointing fingers at the school board whatsoever. What I said is the school boards filed an amended petition to combine the three school boards, which they have the right to do. We're not opposing that. What we're doing is we're getting together so that at a future date, Seabright be put on the ballot to join them. So the speaker is correct that the three school boards have to be merged together for Seabright to ultimately join. We're not pointing fingers at the board whatsoever. That was the board's decision to do that. They're separate governing bodies, and they have the right to do that. They're represented by separate council. The amended petition is amendment of the original petition that we had all filed together. But that original petition that we had filed has never been completed because we don't have the share allocation. So we're going to go with Highlands, and only Highlands, to come up with the share allocation. So I apologize to that speaker if he thinks I was trying to point fingers at the school board. That was not my intention. The school board, instead of doing it in one fell swoop, this is kind of like a two-step process.
Okay.
And I don't know anything about the state aid because I don't represent the school board. So I couldn't speak to that.
Mr. Fisher.
Mr. Giacobbe, can we remind the public what our deadlines are for getting this on the ballot in November?
September 1.
Mm-hmm.
To the public. September 1.
Go ahead.
September 1 is what we heard last night.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Fisher, 913rd Avenue. With the Department of Education Commissioner basically dismissing Ocean Court and Shore Regional's challenge to the initial petition, is it now being accepted by the council that Seabright is in fact unencumbered? Is that what we're telling Mr. Giacobbe to negotiate to, that Seabright has no encumbrance on them, and we should move forth with three towns, three boards of education, instead of two towns, three schools? In other words, the initial petition.
We were always...
Mr. Giacobbe, do you want to comment on that?
Well, I think this governing body has already directed us, the mayor, the council president, the VA, myself, and our expert, are meeting with Highlands to come up with a share formula to specifically address if the voters ultimately vote, or it's put before the voters vote to have Seabright join the regional district. So that's what we're meeting with on Friday. Until that's done, the petition can't be perfected. So that's where our meeting is coming Friday, to come up with that formula that we can agree to, that can then be shared with the Commissioner of Education in the original petition. If you look at the original petition, you'll see that there's a blank spot on it.
Yeah.
in terms of the school boards, they have the ability, as I said before, to file, and I think a board member who spoke before said they're doing it, like I said, in a two-step process. That's fine. We're not looking, I have not been directed to do anything but to come up with, negotiate the formula with the hopes that there is a combination of Seabright, Highland, Atlantic Highlands, and the boards into one school system, because frankly, that's the most tax-advantaged, just think for the taxpayers of Highlands and Seabright, and Atlantic Island.
Okay, my concern, Mr. Giacomi, is there's two petitions. There's one mediation meeting. There needs to be a decision made of which way that the mediation is going to go. Is it going to be for the initial petition that's been on the commissioner's desk for 9 months, or is it going to be for the Board of Education's petition that's been on the commissioner's desk for 2 months or less?
We're doing the mediation based on the original petition. Okay. The mediation was scheduled before the amended petition was filed. So we're going to come up with a shared allocation for both scenarios based on the original petition, sir.
Okay, so at the last meeting,
it was just amended.
So at the last meeting or the meeting before, we were told that as long as Seabright was unencumbered, that this council would enthusiastically move forward to pursue the initial petition with the Department of Education. So it sounds like that is the case. Yes? In other words, you will provide the funding formula and share formula for the Department of Education Commissioner for only the original petition. So,
are you talking to me? I don't know if you're talking
to me. Answer's yes.
Yes, Mr. Giacomi, he was talking, speaking with you.
So, no, the original, understand that the original petition, and if you look at the original resolutions that we passed, sir, there was a share formula for both. It was just the regionalization of the three schools, and or if there's a regionalization of three schools and Seabright joined it. We're coming up with the formula, and the big issue, sir, frankly, is the formula for Seabright. If Seabright joins, the amount of money that's generated in savings and how that savings is allocated to Atlantic Islands and Highlands. That's what the experts, and we're going to be negotiating to comply with.
Okay, so just a closing statement, basically. The formal studies, the two formal studies that were conducted, both recommended three-town regionalization. The new legislation signed in February of 2022 supports it. Seabright has committed to cover any litigation in this process, if there is any. The savings are used for Atlantic Islands and Highlands. And other than the funding and saving sharing formulas, is there anything else that we should be worried about at this point? What else can go wrong?
I don't know if anything else can go wrong. I mean, you got to remember, once the petition, even if all the parties get agreement on the petition, it's ultimately the voters that have to vote on it. And so you need an affirmative vote from Highlands, Atlantic Island, and Seabright. So, I mean, I guess the worst thing is if one of the municipalities voted down, it doesn't go forward. If there's an affirmative vote, the petition's ultimately approved, and there's an affirmative vote, then it goes forward.
Okay, so there shouldn't be any more roadblocks between the decision coming out of the mediation and providing the formulas to the Department of Education Commissioner. There should be nothing else that happens before the commissioners vote to say whether we can.
I can't read what's going to happen in the future. I can tell you that from Atlantic Island's position, we've taken the position that we're not looking for any roadblock, trying to be cooperative and work with all the different groups. And I've been working closely with the Bushwalk group and the 4GOR group to try to fit this together. I can't tell you if there's other roadblocks. I don't know what Shore Regional and Ocean Port will do. They do have the right to file an appeal. That's their right. Will they file an appeal? I can't prognose if that's going to happen. But what I can tell you is the biggest issue that we have to deal with is the sheriff. once that's in place, I think that this will be a lot easier. And I can't really envision on the roadblocks, other than if Oceanport or Shore Regional or together they decided to continue to do fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hello, Ellen McGuire, 81 East Lincoln Avenue, Atlantic Highlands. I wrote this to be an email, but I wasn't sure it would get to you this time for today, so I'm going to just read it to you now. I'm a parent of three children who are now grown. They grew up in the midst of a regionalization of their high school. And I have to say, it was a painful process like we're experiencing right now, covered several years. The system in place was for my town, Colts Neck, to send to Marlboro High School and send our children to private school. It had been this way for many decades, and there was a lot of pushback from residents of surrounding towns for all the same reasons we're discussing today for our children. To make a long story short, Colts Neck ultimately joined with Marlboro, Freehold, and Harold to create the Freehold Regional High School District, and what a wonderful difference it made for our children's education and high school experience in particular. My children were part of the first group of students in a beautiful new building and enjoyed a more diverse student population, expanded course offerings, a multitude of extracurricular activities, a variety of clubs, and a range of sports. Our students thrived in a full high school experience where the class sizes were small enough so they benefited from the low teacher-student ratio, received recognition for their accomplishments, and did not get lost in a sea of thousands. If we are currently enjoying an approximately 1-8 ratio of Henry Hudson now, which includes 7th and 8th grades, the addition of even 100 students with no increase in teachers will only raise the ratio of 1-12, which is about what we have at High Tech High School and MASS, two top-rated schools. We're only talking about approximately 45 students coming from Seabright. Both commission studies, Corsio and King, recommend that tri-district regionalization include Seabright, so it's not a matter of let's merge Seabright in or not, but how can we make it happen? How can we merge Seabright in? So as you've heard, the funding formula has already been agreed upon, and that's not going to be revisited at mediation. The goal of the mediation is to come up with the cost sharing ratio that is acceptable for the first few years. We should not be using terms like in perpetuity. We should be looking at what aspects can be more fully optimized in an equitable way over time. This should include contingencies or situations where cost sharing is adjusted accordingly and implemented only by a triggering event. For example, if a town built a 400-unit apartment complex resulting in a large influx of students 4 years from now, the formula can be adjusted accordingly to correspond to that point in time. We can agree to a regular review, for example, 5 years, to make sure the costs are shared equitably. The goal is not to decide if regionalization can be done with Seabright, is to propose a fair and equitable split of the revenues and costs to be added to our current three-town petition. Ultimately, it is the residents, not the vote, and voters, who will decide if that proposal with the costs allocated equitably deserves a yes from them in November. The mediation needs to produce an agreed-upon cost-saving split and to add language to cover changes over time to equalize valuations and enrollment so that the revenue and savings splits can be adjusted as appropriate and remain fair and equitable, and that can be in perpetuity. So no more delays. We have the information we need. I urge you to come to a solution on April 21st and complete the three-town regionalization petition so you can then finalize the wording on the resolution ASAP. You shouldn't be waiting 45 days grace period anybody to challenge the commissioner's decision. And the successful regionalization in Freehold did not result in a huge increase in property taxes across towns or an inequitable sharing of the tax burden, but rather cost efficiencies, reduced bureaucracy, and improvements in consistency in education and experiences for all students.
Thank you. Mr. Bieber.
Thank you, Mayor. Mm-hmm. Roman Bieber, 12th Tradesman's Lane, Seabright. I think all of you know I'm a bit of a student of this subject. A couple of comments and then a question from Mr. Giacobbe. I did go to the Highlands Town Hall last night. It was actually quite good. The 4-0 presentation I thought was very comprehensive. It covered everything from where we've come from to where we are today. And it also laid out a path which I thought was very clear on what's required in order to get this over the goal line. The 4-0 team basically went through all the numbers. They described all the details. They went through the commission's decision and everything around that. And in the end, the view is collectively, and for those of you in the room that don't know, I'm on the council in Seabright, the clearest and straightest path here for all of us is the three-town regionalization. Mm-hmm. Why do I say that? Because first of all, the legislation was specifically written to address exactly the kind of issues we're dealing with right now. It was written to clear the path because they knew there were going to be challenges that were going to take place. And it doesn't surprise me that somebody from Monmouth Beach is making a comment on that, because Seabright's been in Monmouth Beach, the Oceanport, and the Shore Regional Plan for 30, 40 years. And this year, and I know it's our problem, not yours, this year, based on the calculations, Seabright's going to be paying $181,000 a student for high school. That is 9 times the state average. Seabright has tried multiple times to talk to Shore Regional and Oceanport about this. We have one member of the Board of Education, and every time the subject is brought up, the question is denied. So we have run that as far as we can to try to be reasonable in dealing with the town that we're in, and if we could have done that, we wouldn't be here talking about this at all, because we would have made that adjustment a long time ago. Now, last night at the meeting, it was very encouraging to listen to the path forward, all the financials and everything else. At the end, many of us spoke, there are people in the room here that got up. People here got up to talk. And at the end, Mr. Bush got up. And his comments were incredibly discouraging. What he said was something, I'm going to give you the very short version. What he said is, the Board of Education is in favor of regionalization. But let me tell you all the problems with it. And let me tell you all the challenges that are going to happen. And let me tell you about the appeal that could be coming. So anybody that thinks that this is going to go forward and it's going to be easy, you're kidding yourself. That's basically a quote from the gentleman who is the attorney representing the Board of Education who says they want to get this done. I'll also remind you that that was the attorney who signed off on the letter from Dr. Beans to the commissioner stating that she spoke on behalf of the three towns. March 17th, he signed the letter and it stated that Tara Beans speaks for the governing bodies for the three towns. We talked about that, right? I don't know how that happened, and I was hoping he was going to be here tonight so I could ask him a question. I was so upset with him last night, I couldn't even talk to him. Because there was absolutely no question when he got up the bias in his comments. It was crystal clear to everybody in the room what the position is. What you say is one thing, what you do is another. And everything that Mr. Giacobbe has said today, the comments from before, he should get his facts straight, was completely in line with the conversation last night. There were no errors in what he stated. It was accurate. I listened very closely to this stuff. And the steps that were required to get there is exactly the way Mr. Giacobbe laid out. Now, the real challenge and the real question here is we are confusing the commissioner with two separate petitions saying two completely different things. One of them claiming to be speaking on behalf of all of us, which they're not, and the one that all of us put together in the beginning, which speaks for all of us, right? And all it required was the funding formula to get it done. And there's the equalized value, there's student enrollment, and then there's the share. And we understand completely that the meeting on the 21st is a meeting between Highlands and Atlantic Highlands, because they have to work out the sharing formula, whatever it is around the 50-50, whatever the number becomes, it's got to be fair and equitable, right? And I'll remind you in the numbers. In the event that we do this, when we regionalize together, when we are steady state, Atlantic Highlands and Highlands are each going to save $1.06 million a year forever. Tens of millions of dollars are going to be saved from doing this. So it's critically important that we move with speed, because anybody that's trying to slow this up, delay is death for us, all of us collectively. So I stood here a couple weeks ago and I looked at the faces on the governing body, everybody was here that evening, and we said, if Seabright is unencumbered, are you in favor of going forward? I heard enthusiastically, I heard yes, we're going to do this. So now the question is the council going to follow through on its words? The commissioner has come out on April 6th and said, I deny the appeal. Mm-hmm. The reason the commissioner does that is the commissioner knows the deal Seabright's in. It knows it's inequitable and unfair. It knows there's been no resolution to that. And the commissioner also knows that the movement that's going to be made by these three towns is completely aligned with the direction the Board of Education is trying to go in the state. That's why she denied the appeal. And anybody that waits for the next shoe to drop is waiting for delay, is waiting for failure. So the question that I have for Mr. Giacobbe, and thank you for appearing here tonight, I appreciate your comments, is I am very concerned about the next dish that's going to be thrown in front of us. I believe we have to be proactive. I have, and in your comment, I agree with completely, an appeal could happen. Ultimately, this is about getting to the voters, right? This is not about the council's deciding, it's about the voters deciding how they want their students educated and how they want to spend their tax dollars. So Mr. Giacobbe, the question I have for you is, what do you see as the primary responsibilities you have representing this body that wants to go forward with this? Just the top four or five things that you think you have to get done in order to enact their wish.
Well, sir, I think that this governing body has directed me all along to work to have this combined three-town, three-school board in one combined unit. That's the directive I've always been involved with. When I put together the original share formulas, the resolutions, etc., that's been my charge the entire time. What we're looking to do right now is, and frankly, I think the most important thing for us to do is come to an agreement with Highlands, because that's where it broke apart last time, was the agreement between Highlands and Atlantic Highlands as to what is a fair share allocation. And as I said, I'm a lawyer, I'm not a financial expert, so we've retained Bob Benneke, who is a financial expert, to represent the interests of Atlantic Highlands. Well, the Porzio group has the ones representing Highlands. And so I think their first goal is to come up with a share formula that works and everyone's satisfied with. That's critical because the petition, the original petition that we filed with the commissioner, can't be considered until it is complete. And that's the one thing that is missing from the petition. If you look at the petition, those lines are blank. So that's the first and most important thing to get done. Once that's done, then the commissioner will have to make a determination to approve it or disapprove it. I think that the fact that the commissioner dismissed Shore Regional and Ocean Port's challenge bodes well for the three towns in a quest to have this go before the referendum, the voters. I don't disagree with you. I think time is a very important factor, because you have to get to deadlines to make a ballot. Last year in August, mm-hmm. we were scrambling to get things done, like at the very end of August, because of people who are on vacation, etc. I think right now the goal is, the reason we're doing this on next Friday, is we want to make sure we have enough time to have a mediation or several mediation sessions so we can come to an agreement, get that book for the commissioner, and get an approval, so that it can get on a ballot by November.
Okay, thank you. Just a couple quick comments and then I'm done there. First of all, I just want to remind everybody, I know you all know this, but there are three components to the savings that take place in this regionalization. The first is when Atlantic Highlands and Highlands regionalizes together, that creates efficiencies which are estimated to save about $440,000. That's very important. That's part of this process. The second is, in the regionalization process, the state looks favorably on towns that are regionalizing, and they slow down the reduction in state aid. Instead of it happening over 5 years, it'll happen over 9 years or something like that. So after regionalization, any town that does it gets the benefit of a reduction in the reduction of state aid. That's a really big deal, and the comment that was made by the woman that spoke before is very, very real. That component is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars over the life. The biggest component that comes out of this is the benefit that's derived by Seabright bringing in, right now we pay $3.8 million, mm-hmm. right, to educate about 40 kids, right? And in Oceanport, it's not an unreasonable number. It's about $37,000 a year. And I feel bad for Oceanport, because of Shore Regional's action, Oceanport is going to suffer in this process. But nonetheless, the savings that are going to come out of this, the big block, the millions of dollars of savings, comes with the inclusion of Seabright. So I think it's critically important we don't confuse the commissioner with competing petitions when the clear, logical, best saving path is the inclusion of the three towns. The second thing I would say is I learned something last night which I did not even know, consider, and I'm concerned that this may be a poison pill in the whole process. So it was shared last night that if there is a regionalization consistent with the petition that was put in by the Board of Education, that petition and that calculation run on 100% equalized value, which is the way Atlantic Highlands and Highlands operate right now. If that's renegotiated in this deal, it's going to push an additional $325,000 cost to Highlands. Highlands will reject that, I believe. It'll be dead. So we have to be very careful here that the petition that's been floated by the Board of Education doesn't have a poison pill in it that actually is going to result and a denial by Highlands, and it's over. And what will happen in that scenario is this team, collectively, all three towns, will have failed the residents and the students in Atlantic Highlands and Highlands, because we will let it get away from us because of another method by which you could damage this whole thing. So, Rob, I would suggest you want to take a look at this, because when I heard that last night, I said to myself, my God, if that actually is what comes out of the negotiations on the 21st, this train can come off the track completely, unbeknownst to anybody except the people that may have made that decision, and this whole thing would be dead. And then the last thing I'll say, and I appreciate all the time you've given me this evening, is I'm on a council, I have to face the public just the way you do every couple of weeks. And in the end, the most important thing in all of this, in my mind, is quality of education, above everything else. We have residents in Seabright that are desperately concerned about this potential move. They love the Oceanport School. I've looked at all the data, all the statistics, and I believe we're going to do an equals-to-equals trade in the end. But one of the things we're hoping is going to happen is the added funds that come in are going to elevate the education system in Atlantic Highlands and Highlands, because as I said at the last meeting, the state allows the towns to decide how those savings get spent. If they want to add another advanced program, if they want to do something else, that's up to the towns to decide. So number one, quality of education comes first. Number two is doing the right thing for our taxpayers. And if each of your two towns can save $1 million and Seabright a bit more than that, $1.5 million, whatever the number is, that is one of the most important things we can ever do on council to give property tax relief to our residents. And shame on all of us if we don't find the easy path to get this done, because it's laying right in front of us. Please, let's get it done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Regina. Regina Keelan, 21 King James Lane, Atlantic Highlands. Just a couple of things. One, I believe you all know what Fair Weather Duties are. Nobody has to tell you. Number two, from the beginning, pre-pandemic, when all this came up in the discussion and prior, because we've been talking about this for since the 60s, 62. One of the biggest things what happened in this whole entire process is false information coming out from multiple different towns, multiple different people, and I believe I even heard something tonight. Now I believe, and I can't look at her, so I don't think I'm being rude at it. Mrs. O'Dwyer got up and said that the funding formula, I believe, was already set. Was that in your letter?
No, up here.
Okay, was that in your letter? Yes. The funding formula is not set. Correct?
No, we're working on it. That's
what we're going to say. That's what I'm talking about, false information. It's not said yet. So,
okay.
Yes, it could be.
That's just one thing. So yes. It's not agreed upon, correct? Because that's why you're meeting next Friday with the Highlands to discuss what the formula will be, correct? Mr. Jacoby, that was for you.
Correct.
Okay, so it hasn't been decided yet.
That is correct.
Okay. All right, so that's, it hasn't been decided, and you're going to be talking about that not this Friday, but next Friday.
Yes.
Correct. I believe everybody agrees that it would be great, share savings if Seabright comes in. I think it's terrific. I think this has been prolonged way too long. There are a lot of other issues in this town, and I'm sure other towns that need to be dedicated to, but the biggest thing is false information. And I know it came out from Seabright, I've known it came out from people in Atlantic Highlands, people in Highlands, and the process was just muddy the borders with that when you start talking about false things. Now, one of the reasons I did want to get up and speak today, because I believe it was the last meeting I was at, it was being thrown around about Superintendent Beans. Don't know the one, but she could be laying on the ground. I would stop her, because I would stop for anybody if they were lying on the ground. my understanding is, if the woman was here, she would have been tarred and feathered. My understanding was that a letter went to the superintendent, that's what they were talking about, and that she was speaking for all the boards and all the towns and all of that.
To the commissioner.
Now, because I found this out, and I didn't go into the meeting, so I found this out. There was one that was sent last July, and that was the cover letter for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I saw it from Ms. Smith. I looked at it. And before I go on with it, the date on that letter, the second letter that was just supposed to go out, was July. Now, it was my understanding, and it was what I was told. Did the attorneys attach the wrong letter?
You'd have to address that with the school board's attorney, because they're the ones who filed the amended petition. I can't tell you.
Thank you, because that's just, So does anybody know?
Yes.
What's the deal with that?
The wrong letter was attached when they discovered the mistake. They pulled it, they put the correct letter on, and then that was resubmitted to the commissioner.
Okay. So it wasn't the superintendent going rogue and speaking for the three boards and the three towns and everybody in Monmouth County. It was the board, it was the other attorneys that put the wrong letter onto the thing to the commissioner. Correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. So I think that everything trashed Mrs. Beams, Superintendent Beams, at the last meeting, should actually reach out to the poor lady and apologize. Because if she was here, you really would have tarred and feathered her and dragged her down the street, which I think is wrong. And everybody that's been on a school board again, and I'm going to reiterate this, and I feel like somebody else got up and talked, and I respect her very much. Tracy Atkins. The superintendent, and I just want to say it one more time, does not speak for the school board. The school board speaks for the school board. The president of the school board speaks for the board, and the superintendent is directed on what the school board wants them to do. And again, like, I don't know what this woman looks like, but that's what I'm trying to talk about with all this stuff and the pointing of the fingers and this, and nobody wants to save money for the schools, and all my children, we're going to have Wally World up there to help when all this is said and done. Well, I hate to tell everybody, we're not going to have Wally World up there, because we're only going to get so many kids to Seabright. And what the state's trying to do is to have big school districts like they have in Kentucky, like county districts. Not these little teens who are going to get maybe from 7th to 12th grade, maybe, you know, 30 kids. We're not going to bring in all these people and all these programs we're going to get. It's going to help. But don't mislead people. That's what I'm trying to say. And this process would have went a lot smoother. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
So I'd like to advise everyone that Mr. Giacobbe needed to log off. If anyone has any additional questions.
Oh, I did just one more. I'm sorry, it's important, not whatever. I was just for Virginia Kalen 21, or I don't want to kind of
King James.
And the poor guy, we probably go back after rights, the guy from Seabright.
Okay.
Is there any way that we can move the process a little quicker amongst the towns, having let the superintendent of the education do whatever they need to do or she needs to do, but can we have this question for the ballot already done and not wait until, I don't know, 10 minutes before the, you know, Freehold needs the question that it's going to be done? Let's have everything else mm-hmm. placed where we want it to be, and then we can move forward that way. That's the only suggestion I have, mm-hmm. is to have that not wait until all of this is done and go, now we have to work on this. Because I think we all can walk mm-hmm. at the same time.
Okay. So Mr. Giacobbe is still on, but he has advised us that...
Yeah, Rob, as you guys know, I'm involved in a contract negotiations this evening, and I've logged on, stepped out of that meeting. So I have to get back to the contract negotiations with another district. So I'm going to be in the Waterloo office now.
Okay.
That's fine. So I'd like to advise everybody that...
Okay, guys, see you next Friday.
Thank you.
Have any questions,
if you,
Chris?
If you...
Okay.
Hang on.
Comment. I have a question. I'll at least get the comment.
Yeah, I'd like to just make a statement first. Anyone who has any additional questions, you are free to email my office at any time, and I will share those questions and or comments with Mr. Giacobbe. And if you're looking for an answer to whatever question you may have, I will ask for his assistance to provide you an answer as our representative in this matter. You're free to
take
a comment.
Okay, go ahead,
Chris. Cool. Good evening. Chris Lucas, 61 Starfield Avenue. I came in here a couple of days ago thinking we'd be high-fiving. Right, I heard the news that we were now unencumbered, we could bury that work forever. And it didn't seem like anything changed. In Mr. Jacoby's words, I've been directed by the council to do the two-step, which if I go back, those are his words.
That's not what he said. That is not what he said. He said he'd been directed all along to get it done with Seabright.
He said the two-step, meaning I will do it one, have one with him.
What's
his word? I heard him right now, right?
You
make it up.
That's not what he said.
He said he was instructed to go ahead with what we originally always wanted.
With the two additions.
No, he said that the Board of Ed have their, and he is going ahead. He works for our town, and he's moving ahead with the original petition. The one thing that we are working on is the finance, and that's what's going to be coming up next Friday. And hopefully we have that all situated so that we can move forward and write up what we need to and have it in position for November.
So there will not be a unit of work that doesn't include Seabright at all. 100% of the next meeting is assuming Seabright's in.
That's
and nothing has to be discussed. There's no other scenario.
That's correct. Well, it's what we've been wanting all along.
But that's not what I heard.
Excuse me, sorry. I know, I think it's unfortunate Mr. Jacoby had to get off. But what I heard, and I think it's like, certainly I know the council has directed him that we want the three towns involved. But I believe he also said that when they do the mediation on Friday, they are going to allow for the possibility that the commissioner doesn't let Seabright in. And so if there's two petitions out there, and I hear what everybody's saying about the confusion, and hopefully we're going to get past that. But he's instructed to do the three towns. But I think in order to make sure we can move forward, and I think the Women's Board of Education made a point as well, that they're going to do a share that will involve just the two towns as well as three towns. And if I, because I think, and that's, again, this is not my area of expertise at all, I'm just trying to clarify the record, but I believe that the formula has to be between Atlantic Highlands and Highlands. And then Seabright comes along after that. So what they're doing on Friday is going to solve the problem both ways. So they'll fill in the gap in both petitions.
Thank you.
So what I think I heard you say was a two-step. They're going to work it out between Highlands and Atlantic Highlands first, and have a provision to add Seabright versus having one, let's call it negotiation, for lack of a better term.
I think even the councilman from Seabright said that the formula that has to be worked out is between Highlands and Atlantic Highlands. And once that's done, Seabright comes along naturally. It's that formula. Mm-hmm. So the formula is the right formula for both.
They are going to be presenting us the money, their money, and so we have to realize how we're going to split it between the two towns. That's what we're going to be working on Friday. That's why Seabright's the one that's giving us, you know, their students and their money, and so we have to figure out.
So there is no output then that would say, and if Seabright gets something comes up, we already negotiated that. That's going to be done at the same time.
I don't understand.
He's giving an advance statement.
Oh.
He's giving an advance statement.
Excuse me, sir. Sir.
No. You have to sit down.
Well, I should not be more clear.
Okay.
But again, I think there's just. And I'm probably typical, I'm not an expert in this, but it still sounds like there's a diluted effort to get to this, and we are hedging our bet.
But not on our part. Again, I mean, what I think is happening is Mr. Jacoby is only involved in the first petition. He didn't file the second petition. He wasn't even a signatory to the second petition, right? So the initial petition is the one that he has been charged with responsibility by this council to advocate and to move forward. So that's it.
Yes.
Period.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Again.
Okay. Erwin
D. Paul Trayvon Lane. A couple things. We all know this, but just for clarity, the funding formula has two components, right? It's got the split on equalized value and student enrollment. My understanding is that portion has been discussed and negotiated between petty towns. Put it off to the side. Mm-hmm. When you do that formula, that results in the net savings that's going to be coming to Atlantic Highlands and Highlands. That number's already been established. Mm-hmm. As you said, Mayor, and it's been said by others, the only thing that should be left in this negotiation, mediation, and decision is how that money gets split. So I think the comment was half right before. Part of it has been finalized, the portion on the split between equalized value and enrollment, and the part that hasn't been is the part related to the split between the two towns. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I heard the comment, and I have tremendous respect for this, to the woman in the back. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes we exchange a little bit. But where I come from, when an attorney signs a letter and puts it on another letter, it's official. When you go books, I did the wrong thing, after you were called on it, that tells you something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This letter, which was handed, has her in her opening statement, Dr. Beams, saying, I speak for the three towns. And that was under the letter from Bush, right? And a couple days later, it was rescinded. How that letter ever got through the attorney review process, I don't know. Because they would have known better to know that that wasn't the case. That should not have happened in the way that came through. The other thing is, you know, when you see something happen, okay, that's something. Another thing, a trend. I've been with this group for a year and a half watching this. And I can't even count on three hands the number of itemized delays that have been brought up. You tried to hold a town hall meeting, and you got told to stop. The mayor of Atlantic Highlands wanted to have a town hall to educate and update their residents on what was happening on regionalization. And you were told to stop by the Board of Education. You could have done the same thing the other two towns did. There's a separate BOE study going on, but let us inform you of the process and how things are going to go forward. But instead, you were told to delay your meetings. How does that happen? How does the BOE tell the mayor of the town, cancel your town hall? And everybody goes along with it. I don't understand that. I was in a meeting with Tara Dr. Beams where she said, I have no involvement in the financial analysis of this. I'm about educating the students. Fast forward 9 months, she recommends mediation and says, I'm not going to come to you unless the formula is acceptable. How does that come from a superintendent who says, I have no involvement? I'd be more than happy to go through my notes and find the 12 to 15 things that have come up along the way. Any one of them stands to me. Collectively, they're a trend. The time has come. Call a state and state. Move on. Do the right thing. Don't confuse the commission.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So,
I have. Is there another comment?
Apologies if Eleanor Gore, 81 East Lincoln Avenue. Apologies for any miscommunication. My understanding was that the funding formula was referring to part one, the revenue stream coming in, or the tax sharing, sorry, based on equalized valuations and enrollment. And we had decided for agreed upon that percentage allocation, whatever it was. The issue was the language of in perpetuity. So when I referenced that, the funding formula, I meant the tax revenues were decided upon last year. So will they be renegotiated at mediation? Or my understanding is, and as I heard in the Highlands meeting last night, they're very eager to get to the table and work out this last part of it, which is the cost sharing aspect part two.
Well, we haven't had a meeting with the financial expert, our financial expert, which was supposed to take place before Friday. So I couldn't answer that 100% that he's not going to tell us different figures, but that agreement from last year was last year's agreement. This is a different.
But so we're going to be looking at both pieces again.
I don't know.
I
don't know what his recommendation is on that because we haven't seen it yet.
And this is a follow-up. Also, it was a very informative meeting. There was a board of ed member came up and expressed his frustration, basically that the board was only asked to vote on a two-town solution, so they didn't even have the opportunity to vote on a three-town solution. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to add that I'm hearing from board members that they are frustrated that they do want to move forward with regionalization, and we keep starting and stopping, and we're just wasting time. So anyway, that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So
I want to make one comment regarding what Ms. Keelan said. Regarding Dr. Beams and charred and feathered, I think was the expression that you used. I urged caution about how her letter was being framed here and went home and read the letter. And I cannot see any way in the way that it was phrased that she was acting on behalf of the municipalities. She was asked by Mr. Magyar to do a summary. And when you read her thesis statement, her first line, it is a summary of what actions had taken place up to that point. And all the law firms were aware of that. We're talking about a mistake. Yeah, it was unfortunate. The wrong letter went. Nobody discusses the fact that when the first proposal was submitted to the Department of Education, the Perzio Group submitted it to the wrong department. So if you want to talk about delays, that happened on the part of our Seabright and Highlands law firm. So, I mean, are we going to drag them through the mud? Accidents happen. So that was an accident that happened. But in no way, shape, or form do I comprehend that letter as her acting on behalf of the municipalities. I don't see that in the opening line at all. And the entire letter is just a summary.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I think it's a shame the way she was framed in these meetings.
I have to move on. It's, we haven't even gotten to the meat of the meeting. So you can always email or call Mr. Farragina with your comments or questions. He will gladly take them. So now, moving on to public comment on the new business consent agenda and our regular agenda items. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Good evening. This is Marilyn Sherman from 55 Avenue B, saying thank you to Mary Blessing for her Monarch Pledge. It is a wonderful way of giving public awareness to something that is really important, and I want to thank you and Elaine is here with me to do the same thing for Wild About Atlantic Highlands. There's been a that's a happy part to the story, but the sad part is that there is a decline that we are made aware of with the monarchs and other pollinators. So this is why this is such an important thing. The numbers are down, the habitat has declined as well. So by your doing that, that public awareness can make other people aware of what is going on.
I hope so.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And there's something that everybody else can do. We passed out
Here. Thank you.
And I hope everybody that has pumpkin seeds tonight will plant those. And if you didn't get them, we can leave some here, because it makes everybody that is in Atlantic Highlands part of the community effort to make this awareness happen and also to increase the corridors and the pathways that the pollinators can use. So plant that milkweed. And thanks again.
Thank you.
And you hit your mark, didn't you? 107?
You did. I didn't think I could say it at this time, but yeah,
you did. Awesome.
Great.
Tonight's agenda items only. Tracy Attaway, 7 Hill Road, Atlantic Highlands. This is directed to Councilman Crowley. I have the letter, and I just would like to read it so that everyone can hear it. Dear Commissioner Alan McMillan, please accept the following. This is from Dr. Tara Haynes. That Ms. Matt Jacoby, that we are all paying for, had no involvement at all. Please accept the following petition submitted with full collaboration by the Boards of Education of Henry Hudson Regional School District, Atlantic Highlands School District, Highlands Borough School District, and the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, Highlands, and Seabright. I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Mayor. Mark Fisher, 913rd Avenue. Changing gears a little bit. Resolution 64, extending outdoor dining, resolution that's up for a vote tonight. I think that resolution should be tabled. That was the original resolution, which was formed back in June of 2020, was enacted because of the COVID-19 pandemic. It was extended 1, 2, 3, 4 times since. However, this past Monday, the 10th, President Biden, through a joint resolution number 7 between the House of Representatives and the Senate, basically says that the pandemic is over. He has, and I'll read the words, resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives, the United States of America, and Congress assembled that pursuant to Section 202 of the National Emergencies Act, the national emergency declared by the finding of the President on March 13, 2020, President Trump, and Proclamation 9994 is hereby terminated. So, as a technicality, I guess that President Biden had to sign
to put an end to the emergency response of the COVID pandemic. So being that this resolution in Atlantic Islands, and probably all of the towns in New Jersey, was built on the premise of the COVID emergency. I mean, certainly if you want to allow people to die on the sidewalks, you should do it, but there should not be any mention of COVID in this resolution.
Okay, thank you. Any other?
Ben, do we have anybody on Zoom raising their hands to speak?
Nobody at this time.
Thank you.
Okay. So I don't see any hands and no one on Zoom. So we are now going to move on to our consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 64, extending outdoor dining. Resolution 65, fixing the 2023 compensation of borough administrator. 66, appointing tax and utility collector Kathleen Pooler. Resolution 67, sale of surplus property, police car, light bars. 68, sale of surplus property, miscellaneous electronics. 69, payment of bills, $1,152,676.50. And resolution 71 is no mow May. So I would like a motion and a second for...
Mayor, before you do that, I'll make a motion that we pull resolution 64 to discuss it per Mr. Fisher's comments.
Okay, give me a second. Okay. So we're...
We have a second?
Yeah, I'll second the discussion, sure.
Okay. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So, we're voting on 65 through 71.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
In second. Do you want to read 71?
Sure.
Okay.
So this is Earth Month, and so this is resolution 71, supporting No Mow May. Whereas the Atlantic Highlands Borough Council recognizes that bees and other pollinators are integral to a healthy natural environment, and whereas pollinator populations are threatened due to habitat loss, neonicotinoid use, pathogens, and parasites. This is why you wanted me to read this.
No.
Whereas scientific research suggests that bee pollinators make use of, quote, no-mow spaces as key floral resources during early spring throughout the United States and in New Jersey. And whereas pollinators and floral resources have a positive relationship, where the increase in pollinators can increase the amount of flora and vice versa. And whereas the Atlantic Highlands Borough Council concurs with the Environmental Commission's findings that it is in the public interest and consistent with the commitment to a safe and healthy community environment to implement initiatives that help increase the pollinator population. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Atlantic Highlands Borough Council declares its support for No Mow May and encourages property owners who wish to refrain from mowing the open spaces on their properties to do so until the 1st of June 2023. And it is further resolved that enforcement of Code Section 150-686, requiring all lawns and other non-paved areas to be kept trimmed and free from weeds, is temporarily suspended until the 1st of June 2023. And it is further resolved that in the interest of public safety, residents shall continue to keep all sidewalks and other rights of way that abut their property free from the encroachment of grass and vegetation so as not to create a hazard to the public.
I would only ask that we transmit this to our code enforcer.
Yeah, he requested it.
He did?
Yes, he was.
Great.
Yes.
So nobody's going to get fined for their grass is a little long.
That's why.
Yeah, that's why we're voting it.
Great.
That's why we're voting on it.
Wait, we didn't vote.
So, since we have a motion and a second, roll call.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Kusick?
She there?
She said yes.
That's
she said
yes.
Ms. Hornleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
Okay, now we're going to move back to resolution 64, extending outdoor dining. I need a motion and a second. And then we'll discuss after a motion and a second.
I'll move it.
No.
I think we have to do this first.
Yeah, then you discuss it.
Mayor, did the governor already extend it in New Jersey for this year? I thought I heard that somewhere.
I believe he did.
Yeah, this is just following his path.
Right, this is just, yeah, no, I understand that this is just our local ordinance.
So we're just following what the state.
My only commentary is I understand what Mr. Fisher was saying. I don't think there's any material. We have to put somebody on view on the phone.
No, it's okay.
We're getting feedback. I don't think there's any material effect passing at this time by mentioning COVID-19 in this, in its current form. But next year, if we want to bring it up again, we can just strike those words. But it seems to me that some of the restaurants enjoy being able to have that additional space on the sidewalk. So I don't have a problem voting it forward. And then next year, we just, if we want to revisit it, we can just clean up the language, unless, Ms. Schaefer, you think that we need to strike COVID-19 from the language, if it has any effect.
Yeah, I don't think we do, because it actually doesn't say it's because of COVID-19. It says essentially it's because there have been some closures and some suspensions of business. And I believe a lot of the rationale underlying the governor's orders has to do with keeping them in business and giving them opportunities to make more money because they suffered during the pandemic. So it doesn't necessarily say it's because the pandemic's still going on. But your point is well taken, Mr. Fisher, that President Biden said it's over. Let's hope he's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we can have a vote.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. And roll call. Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick? Was a yes?
That was a yes.
Looked like a yes.
Ms. Von Leitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Resolution 64 is passed. Okay, now moving on to Ordinance 7, 2023, requiring the fingerprint and background checks for youth activities. This is just an introduction, so I need a motion.
Crowley will move.
Murphy second.
Okay, and roll call. Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
That's a yes.
Ms. Leitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 07 has been properly introduced. Second reading and possible adoption on April 26th. Okay, thank you. Council reports. Mr. Crowley?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. All right. First aid squad. 119 calls so far this year that they've answered versus 44 a year ago. In March, they had 36 calls. There's already been 23 calls in April. Their training continues. Last month, some of the members had a radio protocol procedure with the county sheriff's office, and they have 3 new members. So that's great. There are 2 that are pending. They still need more. So if you've ever thought about doing it, you can just go online at hnj.com and you can get more information to find out how you can join. I think there are some discussions that are going to be coming up soon between Mr. Ferragina, myself, Councilman Murphy. We've got an ambulance that is 20 years old and it's gone out of service because it's not working any longer. There are multiple issues with it, and it's been very, very hard to try to find replacement parts. They've searched. They've gone nationwide with the search. They've searched locally. And there's a suction device that's not working with the oxygen. I know the electrical unit up front in the cab is also out of whack. And then, Jim, I don't remember what the unit is that's down below in the undercarriage. But so there's multiple issues. So that's a discussion that we're going to have soon about how to move forward with that. Recreation. Summer camp is coming up. That is July 5th through August 11th. I believe it's 9 to 12 at the Hess Center. So you can go online and you can sign up your child, and I believe it's K through 6. And there's also an opening for the summer camp director. So please go online and look for the application there. If you know somebody, refer them. Tell them to go to hnj.com and fill out the application. Got the townwide garage sale, which is coming up May 13th. The deadline for that is May 1st, and there's a $10 fee to enroll in that. and they publish a map so that people that want to go to the town of my garage sale, they can find out where you are. If you want to fill out the application, it's online again at ahnj.com, and you can drop your application in the document drop right here in the front of the building. Easter egg hunt was a huge success last Sunday, and big thanks to our recreation committee and a lot of our volunteers. There were a lot of members whose kids are now in high school, and they showed up to help. And just want to thank Sue Curry, Claire Kozak. Coach, you're here. Thank you. Councilman Murphy, thank you. And also our DPW, Jimmy Phillips, I see you in the back. Thank you for spreading all the hay. It was done a little differently this year. It was fun. And also our PD down the back there, thank you very much for coming out and helping make it run so smoothly. I will just mention that August 13th, we are going to have the music festival. Just want to let you know that we're having four bands. We're still looking for them right now, and we're finalizing some of the other touches that we're adding this year. We're going to have between 12 and 15 food trucks, so it's really going to expand this year. And we're going to have artist vendors that are going to be there, and also a beer garden. And our PD will be there and running that very, very smoothly. So that seems to be a lot of fun. And again, thank you to everybody sitting up here on the dais, Peg, Rob, for the fingerprinting and background checks that were initiated within the recreation committee, and then we brought that forward, and you guys made that happen. So thank you. DPW, Councilman Murphy has a lot to share about recycling, so I'm not going to talk about that, but I will just say cardboard, all residents, please make sure you're tying up your cardboard and your paper into bundles and breaking down the cardboard and putting it into a box so it won't blow all around. Brush, zone by zone brush pickup started this month. Zones 1 and 4 have been completed, and any material that's still out in 1 or 4, you're in violation. So you're going to want to pick that up yourselves and get that off the street if you got it out a little too late. And a reminder, please don't put any of your material in the roadway until 5 days prior to your zones pickup. Same thing, spring cleanup. I know we're all doing that with twigs and trimmings and things like that, but please don't have your gardeners blow that material out into the roadway. That's a hazard. Okay. Atlantic Highlands Police Department. Eileen, maybe you want to, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know that you talked with the chief about Operation Reassurance for senior citizens, so maybe you might want to talk about that and share that. I'll leave that for you. You see a lot of road work that's going on in town, which is great. There's some overtime incurred with that, but there's no charge for the overtime. That's all paid by the vendor. So don't worry about that. There's no charges coming back to us on overtime. There's also a new Instagram page by our police department. You want to go check that out. We're still looking for a Special 2 officer. So if you know anybody that's maybe gone through the academy and they'd like to work for a great department, they can go online and you'll find the application there. But we are still in need of our Special 2. Sergeant Fair and Captain Murtha are on the mend. They both had some procedures and what have you, and I think they're getting phased back into the line, so we wish them all the best. In March, we had 297 traffic stops, year to date, over 1,000. And I'm mentioning that because I know in the last meeting, somebody had mentioned that they felt that there was an uptick with drugs and what have you, and I don't mean to suggest that we don't have, that there's not a problem nationwide with fentanyl and all sorts of other things, but I did want to point out that in the month, out of all these all these incidences, there were only two that were related to drugs, and there were two DWIs. So compared to almost 300 traffic stops, just to put everything in perspective. I don't want to minimize drug and alcohol issues, but I just also wanted to point
Councilman,
out.
Councilman, I believe his comment was about crime in general. I don't think it was specific about drugs, although I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it was.
There was a very specific comment about drugs. Very right. Specific. So that's why I wanted
related
to put those figures out. Also, the borough has $8,500 in traffic safety grants, and those funds were just released. And I believe that some of that is going to go towards, we have gear for license recognition, the plate recognition, so I think some of that some of that money is going to be applied to that. And then this one is especially for Mr. Fisher. 13 summonses for overnight parking without permits in the Railroad, Holly Tree, and First Avenue lots. And also a lot of training still going on with our department. And this is just a small sampling. Field training officer training went on this last month. Field sobriety training, firearm training, special needs liaison training, working with the crime reporting database training, Bayshore detectives meetings, cybersecurity training, and also active shooter training. So that department is really busy in keeping on top of everything. And Mayor, that's everything.
Thank you. And Ms. Kulstek?
Councilwoman Kulstek, can you hear us? Please unmute your line. It's showing that it's muted on the screen there.
But that's her computer. She's calling us on the phone.
It's the volume is.
I mean, are you
unmute?
Okay.
Yeah.
There you are.
Okay. Terrific. Okay. Under senior citizens, we first have in the senior club itself. There's a trip to Atlantic City scheduled for 5:10. Also, there'll be some gentle exercise groups being formed. One is a walking group that Rich Solis is organizing. Thank you, Rich, for that. We have yoga classes that are going to be starting soon. Details to be announced later. Let's see. Under the Senior Citizens Committee, as John has mentioned, we're talking with Chief Reinhardt about some senior volunteers to try to help out with the reassurance program for the homebound elderly. It's still a work in process, but I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to help the police department on that. My next meeting will be on 4/25, and I will report back some more information on that. Okay. OEM, some policy and procedures are being developed right now related to public notification for emergency action in cases of things like a tornado or a hurricane, those type of things. Again, this is a work in process, and I'll get back to you with more information. Training exercises will be later this year on some training exercises. More to come on that. Sarah Weimer has been going to the required New Jersey OEM training for municipal coordinators and is pretty much up to date with what she needs to do there. I want to remind everybody the Go Ready program for seniors will be held on May 9th from 10 to noon down at the Senior Center. We're encouraging people to go there on the Go Ready program. And lastly, the Veterans Affairs Committee is up and running. We now have 4 of the 5 members are veterans. We're very proud of that, and they're very active. We've been able to identify photos of 5 of the individuals, servicemen who were killed in action that are on the monument across from Barrow Hall. And we're still seeking information, biographical information, at least. It's a good active committee. That is my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Alvarez.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a few extra tonight because we have a couple colleagues missing. So I'm going to start with this Earth Month, as mentioned. The Green Team's been working really hard in coordination with all of the various, so many groups in town, including the Shade Tree Commission, the Environmental Commission, the Ladies Auxiliary, the Environmental Commission. So we're excited. There's a lot of events planned. Also, our friends that are giving us our milkweed tonight have a lot of events in the Atlantic Highlands Arts Council, so I'll let various members of those of the Arts Council and other things going on to share what they're doing. But the Shade Tree Commission, it's also Arbor Day this month. We will be planting an Arbor Day tree over at Many Mind Park, over on Many Mind Avenue. We are going to invite the community. We haven't secured the date yet. We're hoping that we will have the tree in by Arbor Day on the 28th and hopefully have the dedication that weekend.
Morgan Spicer created an incredible flyer that we'll be posting everywhere that talks about the various events that are happening in that month. And I know the mayor's proclamation tonight will also be helpful for sustainable New Jersey efforts. As the, also the Environmental Commission is going to be doing climate change signs around the municipality, and those will be pretty soon they'll be put into place. So if anybody on any of those on environmental has anything to add, please feel free to do that. Shade Tree also, Ashley Cruz, who's here, a member of Shade Tree, and I met with Mr. Romeyer from CME and Shari Spiro, regarding the Shade Tree ordinance, possible changes that we would recommend, the Shade Tree would recommend to the mayor and council. So that is in process. We got a first draft yesterday, and we'll be bringing that to the Shade Tree Commission next month's meeting with any recommendations. In the harbor, tomorrow morning at 10:30 in the harbor, Congressman Pallone will be on hand for a press conference discussing the $2.1 million that has been secured from the federal government for bulkhead repair, so we're excited to participate in that. Also, there are several events happening in that the Harbor Commission approved, including the Lions Club Pancake Breakfast is coming back. I'm very excited. On Sunday, May 21st, the Ms. Race will be returning to the Harbor on August 19th, and a 501c3 called Fins for Freedom are doing 2 days, May 19th and 20th. They're going to have sailing fishing trips with veterans and active duty members, so they're providing dinner and breakfast in the senior building. So any veterans or active duty members, please make note of those dates. The Cannabis Committee met a couple weeks ago, and we're meeting again on April 20th to discuss what, if any, recommendations what will be coming before the council to be discussed. There's also going to be an information session that's being currently planned. I don't have a date on that yet, but as soon as we have a date, it will most likely be over at the Smog Castle if we were able to, we haven't secured the space yet, are we?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm going to leave that to the members of the public who are here. I think, I just want to make sure I didn't forget anything. Oh, sorry. We just got our Arbor Day Foundation confirmation that we are, once again, a Tree City USA. So this is our 42nd year. I'm making sure Dr. Trank back there confirmed. We got our swag at our meeting, so we're really excited for the 42nd year. We've got a new flag that we can use to display, and we've got our new 42 years to go on our signage. So we got a new plaque. Mm-hmm. And that is going to do it for me, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilman Murphy?
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple things to add. Not a whole lot left here. As far as personnel goes, want to say a congratulations to Eddie, as well as Kathleen, for being appointed as the tax and utility collectors we vote on today. Also want to touch on the Easter egg hunt. You know, often we do these things, I don't know where my feedback's going from, but we have these events in town where we'll do a parade or we do the Easter egg hunt, and often on the Recreation Committee, we will ask for donations from our business owners and our residents in the community. And without fail, almost every year, we have an overwhelming support from the community. I just want to thank Little Chicken for donating a prize that went to one of some of our winners. Smog Castle for donating some movies, some family packages. Our recreation team, our art designer, it seems, Morgan Spicer for the town, for doing some caricatures. Both my daughter and Sue Curry's daughter for doing tattoos. And anybody else that helped out. It's always a wonderful event, and it's always you know, put on by more than just the Recreation Committee, but the town itself. So we thank you for that. Our next meeting will be next week, as well as our open space meeting. That will be next week as well, I believe. And as far as DPW add-on, I'll just touch on the recycling. I know we had a little glitch with this app, apparently, this Recycle Coach app that's on our website. Just want to remind everybody that the Recycle Coach app that is posted on the borough site is not accurate. It's been corrected it's being corrected within the coming days by the company that operates it. Our administrator and our clerk have both been in touch with this company, and they're on top of that. So forgive us for those mistakes on the website. The recycling schedule has started, as you've realized, and this is something that we're getting a lot of positive feedback from our residents on. It's been long awaited, and many residents are excited about the very simple every other week recycling pickup schedule. Our residents now have 5 more recycling pickups this year than they've had in the past. Residents should always continue to follow the borough calendar for more details on that as well. But again, as all things with change, there are some glitches, and we're working through them. But thank you, everybody, for your cooperation. That's it for me there.
Thank you. Administrator's report.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. We received a couple of communications from residents concerned with the height of some of the curbs along the newly paved roads. We have communicated that and informed that to CME, our engineering firm, who is working with the contractor to address the issue. They will be communicating corrective action steps to my office next week. On March 30th, I attended the Monmouth County Improvement Authority's annual seminar titled Financing Options for Local Governments. On March 31st, JCP&L informed the borough that on April 4th, their parent company, First Energy, would apply to the Department of Energy for a Grid Resilience and Innovation Partnership grant called the GRIP. Their proposal is designed to enhance the reliability of their electric distribution system in targeted communities within JCP&L territory, including the borough of Atlantic Highlands. If the application is successful, the funding provided by the DOE will be matched by First Energy to support enhanced reliability impacts. For example, replacing aging infrastructure, including poles, underground cables, and overhead conductors to enhance reliability and support future distribution system needs. As a result of this, my office wrote a letter of support, which was included in JCP&L's April 4th grant application. So we look forward to hearing the outcome of that. On April 3rd, the borough received notice that the governor signed Executive Order 324 ordering the flag of the U.S. to be flown at half-staff until sunset on Tuesday, April 4th, in recognition and mourning of the passing of U.S. Army Sergeant David Salinas, Jr. The Monmouth County Sheriff's Office, in conjunction with the Township of Millstone and the Millstone Township School District, will be presenting an Internet safety session on April 18th at 6 p.m. at the Millstone Performing Arts Center, which holds up to 1,000 people. This is geared for parents. The Atlantic Highlands Water Department will conduct its semi-annual flushing of the entire water distribution system on April 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, and May 1st, if necessary, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. on all dates. During this time, temporary discoloration of water and a decrease in pressure may be noted as a result of the opening of fire hydrants. By turning on your cold water faucet, this discoloration should clear within a brief time. If you have any difficulties, contact the water department at 732-291-0027.
Coldest water, Rob, at the lowest
point in your house.
Correct.
And by the way, if you do get discoloration, I think Mr. Hawley said in a meeting, I don't know, a couple of years ago, that they do have a rust remover. If you accidentally had clothes in your washing machine and they were stained in any way, you can go, you can reach out to Mr. Hawley, and they've got packets of this that you could use to try to get the discoloration out.
Okay. And we are required by the state to do a minimum of one flushing a year. We do two out of an abundance of caution. Reminder to the elected officials to file your financial disclosure statements by April 30th. As was mentioned, tomorrow, Congressman Frank Pallone will be conducting a press conference in the harbor. The location will be between Pier 4 and 5. In addition to that, my office sent a communication to the DOT requesting repairs to the curbing along Memorial Parkway. Some of you may have noticed there are some markings that they've already placed as a result of that on the road to work on and possibly replace some of those curbs on Memorial Parkway. When they will actually do the work, I have no idea. So if they ever tell me, I'll let you know. But there are markings on the road. And lastly, the Department of Community Affairs, DCA, announced awards for their local recreation improvement grants, the LRIG, which our borough applied for. The Borough of Atlantic Highlands has been awarded $74,000 for improvements to the Harbor Skate Park. So that's very good news. And I want to thank, I know a lot of people have been working on that park for a while, DPW Director Jimmy Phillips, Councilwoman Hohenleitner, various residents in town, and there will be further improvements to that park. In addition to that, we are seeking a separate packet of funds through the county for that park as well, which have not been awarded yet, but hopefully we'll receive additional monies for that park. And that's all I have this evening.
Okay, thank you.
Well, if I can just add something, I meant to mention also,
I meant to mention this earlier in my DPW, but if anybody has not driven through the yard, it looks absolutely stunning. With the new flags and the planters and the painting and all the work that Jimmy's done, I just want to say thank you to Jimmy and his entire crew, because it really looks sharp down there. So
it does.
If you haven't seen it, check it out.
And our professionals, Ben.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple quick updates. Improvements to Many Mind Park. That's a project funded through a Monmouth County Open Space Grant. That project is substantially complete. We met with the contractor on April 3rd to coordinate remaining punch list items. The 2022 road improvement program, Rob just mentioned that there are some issues that we're addressing, and we're developing a punch list for that. And then you have two NJDOT municipal aid grants from 2022 and 23, both for East Garfield and Grand Avenue. That's those grants are being combined. We have completed the survey, and we're advancing the design plans.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I have nothing to report.
Okay. So thank you. Public comment, once again, come up to the front, name and address.
Hi there. My name is Katrina Majewski. I live at 124 Wesley Avenue. And thank you for your work on Resolution 71 Memo May and the Mayor's Monarch Initiative. Thanks so much. It seems that our town is becoming a wonderful place for pollinators, and I think that it presents a great opportunity to explore possibilities of disallowing insect spray to happen in the town. You know, maybe it would be hard to do on personal lots, but certainly on public lots.
Thank you. Mr. Parker?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mayor. Jake, you're bound for the road, speaking in my capacity again at the waterfront store for the
Yay.
Road. So, as we all know, unfortunately, last weekend our annual beach sweep was canceled due to severe weather. But, by popular demand, Clean Ocean Action has announced that we are having a redo. And that is going to be this Saturday the 15th from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Same location, CP parking lot in the harbor. All are invited. Registration is required, obviously. And you can see the COA website for any details you need. Thank you very much.
Hey, cool. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Fugger. Mr. Fugger, if you will, if someone already registered for the previous one, do they have to re-register?
No.
No? Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I looked at that today.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it.
And moving on. Okay, yes. Nope, lady, yes, please, I'm sorry. Yes.
I'm Andre Denline, the 20 Double Deer Road. You guys do a lot of stuff here. Very busy. But when I first decided to say something about this, I felt like it was a little bit kind of strange to bring it up, but I'm going to be complaining about leaf blowers. Inconsequential, but it turns out it really isn't, because there's like a whole movement of people that it drives us crazy. So, and especially with all the pollinators and all the toxic insects and everything, so I think it's kind of timely. But anyway, there is a huge community of people that really are concerned about leaf blowers, and for several reasons. Here's why. First of all, they admit butadiene, acetyl, high, benzenes, nitrogen oxides, formaldehyde, hydrofluorocarbons, carbon monoxide, and fine particulates, to name a few things. Blowing leaves and grass constantly, it damages the soil, it blows all kinds of stuff into the air, and also it disturbs all the insects, helpful insects. It destroys, they get blown away, and their eggs get blown away. So, it is pretty significant. Noise. I mean, these machines have a lower power frequency, and it's generally 50% higher than the recommended noise level. And this particular frequency it carries farther than others. It penetrates windows, walls, and also ear protection. And it's very damaging to hearing. It's very disruptive. And our neighbors, one guy was there for over 3 hours straight, lowering, I don't know what. They have stones. I don't know what but they were going up and down the street all over the place. And it was over 3 hours, like 3 hours and 45 minutes. And I finally went out and just was like, are you guys done? Because I've got a headache from this. And then I said, what about you? This is terrible for people in the lawn care industry. And he's like, well, I've got to work, And I'm like, I understand, but you're going to go to death. And another thing they started doing is blowing grass clippings. They mow the lawn, and then they blow every bloody blade of grass. And it's like, it's so unnecessary. Get a lawnmower that has a vacuum on the end. And, or leave it. It's better to leave the grass clippings on the grass. And that adds another hours and hours of leaf blowing. So it's extremely annoying. And last summer, it was constant. When one person started or stopped, somebody else started, and you can't even sit outside on some days. Really, it's very annoying. So, I don't really support banning leaf blowers like some other towns have done. I don't support that. But I do think that there must be some kind of a reasonable solution or a compromise where maybe, you limit the decibel level of these leaf blowers. Some of them are not as noisy as others, but some of them are really, they're like cannons. And so you could just limit the decibels that they're allowed to have, or limit the number of consecutive hours that they're allowed to do it, so that you at least get a little break in between, a 20-minute break or an hour break even. So, there's things that can be done, and now there's battery-powered tools that people can use, and maybe there could be an incentive for people that want to work in Atlantic Highlands, lawn services that want to work here, that maybe if they replace their equipment, they would have to replace it with something either quieter, more environmentally, better. So, anyway, it's just, I thought I'd bring it to your attention. I'm sure I'm not alone, because really it is incessant, and this is a super town. I've lived here for 18, 19 years, and I've lived in other towns before, and there's just not another town that compares to Atlantic Highlands. It is really a great town to live in. But this is a quality of life issue, and I think it really does affect everybody, and I know it doesn't seem that important, but maybe somebody could kind of look into it and think about it a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. No. I'm going around the room.
Marilyn Schultz on 55 Avenue D. I want to thank you for passing the MLMA ordinance. That goes along with what Oni was just saying about leaf blowers. It goes along with our view of the environment. And I think it's really important to know that there are going to be some people that are not crazy about this idea. We get that. But it gives the people that want to let this happen, to let the pollinators, the bees in the ground, the whatever needs to rest, give them that chance to rest. So thank you very much for passing that ordinance. Endorse that. Thank you, Council Person Hohenleitner, for bringing up our Earth Month activities. We have a lot of things going on, as you mentioned, and there are many, many to mention. So let me get to the ones that are coming up soon. We just finished the wonderful exhibition. Some of you were there. It was terrific. We had a master gardener. We had an author with Morgan as the illustrator, also doing caricatures at the Arts Council. And now we're going to be having this coming Saturday, Lisa Bagwell doing an art activity at 2:30 at the Arts Council building. There's also going to be a walkabout on Earth Day itself.
and there will be a number of different activities at the Arts Council building, so please do refer to that wonderful calendar that Morgan has put together. If you need to find it, you can go to the town website, or you can contact the Green Team. Also, the Green Team would like to know if your group would like to host a stop at the walkabout, and you can contact them at ahnjgreenteam@gmail.com and let them know that you have a stop that you would like to provide. We are going to, as Walkabout Atlanta Commons, be working across the street from the Arts Council building, right next door to the sewer plant. And we're working with the Coal Factory Challenge, because there is a little smell that emanates from the sewer plant from time to time. So why not make it a little bit better? We can do that with Flora, and we're going to have a challenge to see if people can identify some of the old factory presentations that Flowers like make. And let's see, I just want to make sure that I say thank you again to all of you that came forward to support Wild About Atlanta Commons. Yes, we did make it. We made it in time for Earth Day. We are officially certified by the National Wildlife Federation as a community wildlife habitat. But we need to continue it, too. We need to increase the number of habitats. It's not stopping now. We're going to need to recertify. So we want to continue to make those habitats more and more. We want to make that space larger and larger. So thank you once again to all of you and to the community at large that helped us out.
Okay, thank you.
Marilyn, are you handing out milkweed seeds?
Yeah.
Save me one, will you?
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to come back. Okay, so.
Fire Department, oh, sorry, Ellen Dwyer, you want to East Lincoln Avenue. The Fire Department Ladies Auxiliary is a nonprofit organization that supports our fire department in terms of fundraising and even going on fire calls and supporting the first responders with refreshments, equipment, and other things that they might need on a fire call. And we're going to end Earth Month on Sunday, April 30th with what was supposed to be our 85th year a couple years ago, but COVID happened. So it's now come to celebrate our 88th year open house. We'll have food, beverages, and some live music with Nick Burke and Brian Anderson. And we want you to come, have the community come and meet and greet our volunteers and say thank you for your continued service. If I leave this poster with you, can you place it somewhere
Michelle
that's
can.
Very visible yeah. for the public? Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cruz?
Good evening, Ashley Cruz, 124 Wesley Avenue. So a few weeks ago, I witnessed a senior citizen crossing Route 36 at Grand Avenue. This person crossed from the northeast corner over 36 to the southeast corner, then head east on the sidewalk along Route 36. There is a crosswalk there at this intersection, but there was only one, and this person did not use that crosswalk because I guess it wasn't convenient to them. And there's only one crosswalk. And I know that there were two fatalities at this intersection in 2019. I'm concerned that this intersection is not safe enough for pedestrian crossings. And I'm bringing this concern to you, Mayor and Council. But I wish that I could bring it to the Parking and Mobility Committee. Is there someone else I can bring this issue up with? And on top of that, I heard from Crowley that there are traffic safety plans. Perhaps some could go towards this, making it a safer intersection.
So I'm so very glad you brought that up, because it's not the first time a resident has brought those concerns up. So obviously that's a state road. But we as a borough, I personally have sent several communications to the state addressing concerns regarding safety, pedestrian safety in particular, to the roadway, as well as the aging curbs and infrastructure on the road, which pose a hazard to the vehicles that travel on there with debris and what have you. So I'll be happy if you want to reach out to me tomorrow or Monday. I'll give you specific email addresses. I believe in power and numbers, and the more people that can reach out to the state to request repairs, as I mentioned, they did provide markings right after I sent, or shortly after I sent the communication regarding the curbing issue, which I was very surprised. I don't know when they're going to do it, but the markings are out there. But the intersections and the crosswalks are a concern. And I know that the state has plans on redoing the intersections and the crosswalks through the Bayshore corridor of Route 36. They've told me that several times. When exactly that's going to occur, I don't know. The last I heard, and don't quote me on this, I believe we're at least a year away on that, if not more. But nevertheless, I'll be happy to provide email addresses to you, because like I said, I think powers and numbers.
Okay, thanks.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Beaver.
I want to be 12 Trade Winds Lane. A couple of quick things. We have meetings going on right now with the Department of Transportation on our state highway. Specifically, you may know this, Rob Ray, around flashing salmon crossings. They have an issue going on statewide trying to get them installed.
Mm-hmm.
And there appears to be a wind at their back right now. So we're getting 7 installed on 36 on it. So you probably know about it already, but it's a great opportunity to do something like that. I meant to mention this before, Mayor, and it was the comment that was made by Ms. Keeling, which I think was a very good comment, about wording on the referendum, right, potential draft wording on the referendum. So at the Highlands meeting last night, the draft, which I think was prepared by the three towns, I don't know if it was, but I think it was when the original petition was actually read at the meeting. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that I think it was a good suggestion. Anything that we can do to be proactive, to get stuff done in advance, could be really good. And I think the draft of that, if you could just do it and look at it, that would be very helpful. On behalf of all the residents, I just really encourage you to really take a close look at this meeting next Friday, right? Because I think it's going to be very telling. My understanding is if that gets resolved between Atlantic Highlands and Highlands, that gets plugged into the funding formula portions, that potentially goes into the petition and it goes to the commission. And in my mind, that is a major hurdle to try to get there. So please, I think it's going to be very telling what happens at that meeting. And then the last thing is a question. If it winds up, and I got to check this and see, but also, if the funding formula gets finalized, it gets plugged into the petition, does that require a new resolution from the three towns? Or because the petition was submitted previously and the funding formula is not plugged in, the resolutions have to get generated?
So I would say I would encourage you to send me that in writing, and I'll have Mr. Jacoby weigh in on that.
Okay. I'll
check
that's
on a good our question.
Okay. But it's another case of trying to interact with
friends. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very
all right,
much.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Fisher.
Mark Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue. Just a confirmation first. The next meeting is on Wednesday the 26th?
That's correct.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that wasn't sure. I noticed that there is demolition going on the Gama property, the dental property, whatever we call it now. Has there been any dates proposed for when construction will start?
I don't have exact dates, but I can get them to you. What's being projected? I don't have the information in front of me. I don't want to guess.
We were supposed to recover $350,000 in FEMA money into, I believe it was the open space account. Has that money ever been recovered?
I'd have to look into that as well.
Do you know anything about it?
I need to look into it because I don't know which pot you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because what the balance is right now would suggest no.
Yeah. And it's been a while. That we can go there for that money. Yeah, if you could check on that, it's a lot of money. And then the question about the ambulance on the first date, I asked probably back in January, or maybe it was December. We need to revisit the need for the paid ambulance service, right? That's $90,000 a year that the borough was paying. The fact that we need a new ambulance just kind of muddies this whole picture. I mean, the work that the chief is doing with the volunteers is great.
Mm-hmm.
They're bouncing back, they're growing, they're responding, but at some point, we've got to make a decision. You either get the ambulance, or you get rid of JFK, or whatever mm-hmm. they call themselves now, the $90,000 a year cost. I'm sure that ambulance is probably going to be a couple hundred thousand dollars, and I mean, that's 2 years worth of a paid service. So we really need to consider that very strongly when the time comes to pull the trigger on whether to buy an ambulance or not. They're not cheap. And I believe that's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other, anyone? I'm sorry. Birthday girl?
Oh, that's right. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. My name is Tyson, 620 Woods Drive. I just want to start by saying thank you. Councilman Hornbaker, watching you be so calm during that tech fiasco was very impressive. You know, my dad calls it percussive maintenance. That's what I would have done in that situation. So thank you for being so calm about that. I know how important it is to people to be able to. I'm really, you know, people really like to be able to come in for Zoom, so I appreciate you putting the effort and knowing how to deal with the tech issues. And I love to do that. So thank you very much. Regarding the Earth Month activities, Ms. Sherpin did mention that we're having Lisa Bagwell come. Right after you're done with the Kenosha Night Community Sweeps, you can come to the Arts Council at 1:30 actually. We're going to be doing a book giveaway. I had an offer to donate about 50 books, all about wildlife conservation. The sale of these books, these were donated, but typically the sale of these books go to benefit Yellowstone. So it's a great collaboration. So if there are little readers out there, or parents of little readers who want to come and get a free book and then save for the free crash, at least that we'll have to see at the gallery. So that's 1:30 until about 4 this Saturday. I also want to mention, until Saturday, we are going to be having a sign sale. You can go to ahearts.org/sign. And going back to what the residents said before, leaving the leaves, and I'm using leaf blowers. The sign is going to be about leaving the leaves and how important it is to do that. And the other one is about pesticides, which it says, don't spray on your slope here. So if you want a friendly way to communicate to your neighbors about your choices and how you'd like them to be consider those in the future, this is a really nice way, and it also supports Wildlife in the Highlands and the Arts Council. Also, on Earth Day, we have a lot of things. We're going to be releasing a map, but the map needs to be finalized at our next community meeting. But we do know that at 4 o'clock, at the gallery, the State Tree Commission will be having the award-winning speaker, Mary Charlotte Gitlin. If you Google her, she has done a lot of really amazing work in Mono County. She's apparently very interesting, so if you'd like to come in and hear from her, that will be 4 o'clock on Earth Day. 11 a.m., we will have Chairman Deacon of the Environmental Commission and Councilman Doherty will be doing a public-facing update on the e-chargers. So if anyone wants to know where we're at, what the process looks like going forward, that will be right outside Borough Hall at 11 a.m. on Earth Day. And also the Chamber of Commerce is going to be having a bark stop complimentary water retreat, so please do walk around town and try to participate in anything that you'd like to. Make sure you check out the Senior Center Pollinators Garden by lovely Green Team Chair. I also want to thank you for NOMO May. That's great. One last thing, less happy. I'm very sorry to say, because there's been so many awesome comments about what great work is being done in town for the environment, for the pollinators, I do still feel super bothered by the spraying of pesticides outside the borough. And I walked here tonight because it was amazing out. And on the sidewalk right outside the borough is just, I don't know if anyone else has seen it, but it's just like a earthworm. Like bombing off, there's like hundreds of dead limbs on the sidewalk. It is so gross. I'm a vegan, not a Janus, but even I like couldn't like step on the sidewalk. It's so gross. So I don't know if that was pesticide related or what, but I assume it would be. So maybe we want to consider if we are going to be communicating the residents how important it is to be good to the environment, it might start with the way that we treat this building. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Zoom?
We have one hand up online.
I was just going to get to that. Thank you, Mr. Murphy.
Hi.
How many people on Zoom right now?
There are 7 people on Zoom.
Okay, please. Mm-hmm.
Yes, 160 College Avenue, Hollis Springs, Mississippi. I joined late, so this may be a bit redundant. I have 2 questions. Last meeting, an individual, and I apologize, I forgot his name, presented a document to the borough attorney regarding the municipal harbor and commercial use. Is there an update on the content of that document?
I looked at it, and it is a very old document. I think we have to decide at some point in time whether it's still in effect, because it also, I was going to talk to the business administrator about it, but haven't had the opportunity yet. It talks about paying $100 a year for the lease of the underwater area by the harbor. So, and so at some point in time, we have to discuss it. So other than the fact that I looked at it, it's, you know, it's sort of an ancient document signed by a governor that none of us have ever heard of, unless we're 150 years old. And so we'll have to discuss that to see if there's anything that could impact what we're doing down there. And I know we are going to discuss in executive session some issues having to do with the harbor. So it's the best I can give you right now.
Thank you. Secondly, during the same meeting, the mayor, all the council members, and the borough attorney refused to accept documents from other members of the public. Is there a written policy on who can present documents during a meeting, who can accept documents from the public during a meeting, or is this practice just arbitrary and capricious and you do what you feel like you're doing that night?
I can answer that question. I mean, we're happy to accept documents from anybody. I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. If there's something that impacts the borough or the borough's business, and there's a document, there are certain rules having to do with whether or not petitions are acceptable and what they mean, because the people aren't here present. But without knowing exactly what document you think we were offered and rejected, there's no reason why we would be rejecting a document.
Yes, you, after all the borough council members denied having the letter that you spoke about earlier tonight, Mr. Crowley was eloquently defending Dr. Carapides, Muriel Smith offered the letter, and you, Ms. Schaefer, you absolutely refused it, as did the mayor. The mayor eventually said she'll take it after the meeting. So it's disparate treatment from my standpoint. You take documents from certain individuals and you absolutely refuse to take documents from other individuals. That's the definition of disparate.
Okay, well, we've all seen that document. So we received it. I don't know that we rejected it. It may have been an issue as to when it was presented, but as I said before, there is no plan to be disparate toward anybody, and if anybody has a document they want to present to the business administrator or to me or to one of the council members involving township business, feel free.
I take it up with Mr. Perugino tomorrow after he listens to the last meeting's recording. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else?
No hands.
Okay, no hands. And I need a motion, a second, to go into executive session.
Murphy moves it.
Crowley seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ed, like, no action, right? No action.
No action will be taken.
It's about a half an hour?
Probably.
Half an hour. Michelle, are we okay?
We're good.
May I have a motion to come out of executive session?
Second.
Oh, wait, we don't have a quorum.
We do not.
Can you come and hand me my phone? Wait, call back.
We have to stay here all night. If you don't get brought in, you can't leave.
I got her.
on or are
they? Yeah. Oh, you got her hip?
See who rings first.
After a call, is this?
Uh-oh.
This light's better.
So, what would happen if we can't get the...
We're here all night.
Yes, how are you?
We need you for a quorum. Just to adjourn.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It was my fault. I didn't think about it. Okay. May I have a motion? May I have a motion to come out of executive session?
Murphy. Second.
This is all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? May I have a motion to adjourn?
Murphy. So moved.
I just said there's nothing to report in executive session.
Okay.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Cool.
There you go. Just that easy.
I think what we do is a non-proton resolution at the next meeting.